of Malbi Sharomim,
who clotheth the naked, right? So he gives us clothing. So so Rav Kook points out ha'erum, nakedness. Which gives us a feeling of ignominy and a lack of dignity, which is almost opposing the glory of man. We feel a necessity to protect ourselves from it with clothing. In other words, he's pointing out here that to make a bracha on clothing is ignoring the fact that why do we need it, right? You know, obviously in winter you need clothing, but in warm climates and something, why, right? So he's saying that because we feel that lack of dignity. He says, "Vahechrech hamusari azeh." So that ethical need, so to speak, for clothing, ashenata bekirbeinu yotzah adam, and that was opposed to a pragmatic need for clothing, but the ethical need for clothing, which Hashem planted within us, achre shekvan nikva hamusag. He says that after we already have this feeling that nakedness is a negation to dignity, in other words, that need is a gift. What we're actually saying a bracha to Hashem for is the fact that we actually feel the need for clothing. In other words, we, as opposed to the animal world, feel something, lack of dignity without clothing. In the animal world, there's no feeling like that, as far as I know. My experience of my 13 years with my dog would seem to indicate that. But certainly, the feeling of the need for clothing, he says, the feeling of the need for dignity, he says, that is what we're actually saying a bracha about. Hameid hu al zivan ashama, that is actually a testimony to the glory of the soul. In other words, the feeling that we have, the need to wear clothing, is a manifestation of our understanding that we have an neshama, and we want to distinguish ourselves, so to speak, from the animals. And it is interesting how universal clothing is. It may be very minimal, Australian Aboriginals, for example, but it's there. And the fact that it's there is like a testimony to the human being's innate sense of kovod. I mean, obviously you can educate it out of people. You can obviously suppress that, but there's an essential feeling of kovod that we have, of dignity, and that's what we're praising Hashem for here. Ha'atzula mizohar kavod shelmala, which is actually an outgrowth, an emanation from Hashem's kavod. In other words, that since the neshama is related or has its source in Hashem, and Hashem is kavod, so therefore we also feel a sense of kavod. Interesting, if you look at the Razor, the Balamor, in the very beginning of the Balamor, he starts off his perush on the Gemara with the statement, "Baharbe," I don't know if I'm quoting it exactly, but "Baharbe mekoymus b'mikra," in many places in the Tanakh, "Hanefesh nikreis kavod," the soul is called kavod. Now, the actual term for soul, for neshama, is kavod. Ura kavodi, right? Let my soul awake, right? And so that is actually one of the names for the neshama. The Rabbeinu Bachai also says this, that kavod is one of the names of the neshama. The fact that the human being has a feeling, feels a need, is a very Slobodka idea, by the way. The altar of Slobodka used to always talk about the kavod of the Odom and the godless of the Odom. He says, "I never told my students, don't do this because this is prohibited. Don't do this because it's osser. I always told them, don't do this because it's beneath you." It's beneath you. It's like pasnisht, right, in Yiddish, right? It's not appropriate for someone like you. It's not appropriate. One of the greatest stories of that is Rav Tversky, Rabbi Dr. Abraham Tversky, one of his 150 books or whatever. I think it's called Generation to Generation, maybe. It's very autobiographical. So when he was a kid, he was a chess prodigy. So his, you know, father's got a Hasidic shul in Milwaukee. And was Rosh Hashanah, I think. So it's really long davening. So some guy, a guest of the shul, comes over to little Tversky kid, and he pulls out a chess board, a little miniature chess thing, and he says, "It's long davening. You want to play some chess? You want to have a game?" So the kid says, "On Rosh Hashanah?" He says, "Yeah, it's nothing. It's not osur." Okay, right? So yeah, I don't know how old he was. So they go outside, right? They play a game of chess. So after Rosh Hashanah, apparently, his father noticed his absence for a while. So he calls him into the study. So he looks at him and he says, "You play chess on Rosh Hashanah?" Kid says, "Uh-huh." And he says, "Oh." He sighed. He sighed. So Rabbi Twersky understood in that, that it was not, the rebuke was, it's beneath you. Right? It's like, I expect more from you. And then he says to him, he says, "But you wiped him, right?" The guy says, "Yeah." He says, "All right." So it's a great combination of rebuke in an appropriate fashion and also an expression of, you know, of love. Yeah, you wipe the board with him, that's awesome. Right? So that's a great parenting educational lesson, you know, that's in general. So he's saying that feeling of kovod that we have is, it's an expression of the kovod of the neshama, and that's why the Bala Mo'or says hanefesh nikreis kovod, and Rabbi Abchai says, and that's why human beings have this feeling of kovod. So he says we're actually saying that brocha on this feeling of kovod. Which is emanated from the honor of God, that lives within us and surrounds us. And by the way, that's one of the main barriers, moral, I guess one of the major moral barriers to wrongdoing is a sense of dignity. It's like the idea, if there's nothing beneath you, there's nothing beneath me, what's to stop me? Why not? Right? So it's like nothing beneath me. Okay. But as a human, we have a sense of kovod. I think I may have mentioned the story. Australian lawyer, elderly man, Holocaust survivor. I heard this from him years ago. This is probably at least 10 years ago. He had been a lawyer in Germany before the war, graduated from law school, and worked for the government prosecutor's office in the 1920s or 30s, I guess early 30s. So he's a criminal prosecuting lawyer for the German government. Of course, the Nazis coming to power, and of course he immediately loses his job. And during the war, he's in the concentration camp. So he had dysentery or something. So he was outside the bunk that he was meant to be in, the bunkhouse he was meant to be in, and a capo, some of the capos, the camps were actually German criminals who'd been released. Okay, so they used them to guard the camps. So he's out there, and at a time he's not meant to be out there, and the capo sees him. And it turns out the capo was a criminal that he had prosecuted as a German prosecutor and put into prison, and the criminal is now a guard in the concentration camp where he is. Okay, and he says to the lawyer, he says, "Oh, you're a lawyer? Give me one good reason I shouldn't kill you. You're so smart. Put him in prison. One reason I should not kill you right now. Nothing was to stop me." So he said to him, in German, he said, "Far a Mensch du bist," because despite everything, you're a human being. Capo turns around, walked away. Right. So it's like came into his mind to say that you know, unfortunately, that type of thing didn't happen too often, but in this particular case, it did, and the argument. What the argument was that just being a human obligates you. There's a certain sense, human as a human, sense of dignity, right? Type of thing that is, of course, non-existent on YouTube, right? V'hine toichen habrocha hazois kafelhu. So that the content of this brocha is double. Hoida alachush hanafshi ha'adin shelanu. A, it is praise for Hashem for this delicate feeling we have in our soul, shenata Hashem bekirbenu, Hashem planted within us, shehinano al yado mitlabshim al busha kavod, that through that feeling we dress in a dignified manner. And secondly, valahazmana hachomrit hamitziutit, and the pragmatic physical availability of clothing, shemamtzi yotze kol baruch Hashem b'chazdo, that Hashem gives us in his kindness, libriyosav ha'enoshius, to his beings, his human beings, es habegadim lechasas ma'aromehem, clothing to cover their nakedness, bishnei adrachim alalu biyachad, in both of these ways together, derech hanatia haruchanit v'derech hayizdamlu lachomrit, both because of the spiritual feeling and the physical supply, poyel tzur ha'olamim mechaya chayim baruchu, so he who is the rock of the world and he and who gives us life, as Pulas Chazda Gadol gives us this great feeling, this great kindness. So it's very beautiful that Malbish Sharumim is a dual bracha. It's on the very fact that we need clothing, which is an expression of our covet, and the fact that we have clothing on a pragmatic level. So that's Malbish Sharumim. There are some poskim who say when you buy a new suit on which you say Shechianu, you should also say at that time Malbish Sharumim when you put it on. I don't know what the minhag is, but.
Mr. Bruce, can we keep those?